Let me read this. This is from their Japan Mission Call to Serve brochure. The vision and ministry. Japan Mission, JM, seeks to evangelize the unsaved and assist the Bible-teaching churches of Japan. Most churches are small and in need of assistance with literature, evangelistic programs, audiovisual materials, and help from well-qualified workers. Pray for the conviction of sin and that many would come to know Christ. Now, briefly, this man standing before me is easily second generation. And he has a son, Alex, you're going to meet on a video in a minute. But Pastor Jacob expressed to me a number of years ago that his desire was to see multi-generational missionary families. And this family represents that, I think, very clearly. Last week, you didn't get to understand too much about Kelsey, but he stands here checking this box off because he'll talk about his son. But he also has grandchildren who are all in the ministry to say, haven't made a decision yet, they're young. But we see four generations taking place. Are you going to talk a little bit about your dad and mom today? A little bit? Okay, you can refer to the book, I guess, as to the whole story. But I tell you, I want you to stand and give a round of applause to this man and acknowledge what God's call in his life has brought us to. Thank you, David.
Praise God. Have your way, okay? It is a wonderful privilege to be here. Thank you for the way you stand with Japan Mission and the mission work we do there in Japan. My father stepped off the boat in 1951 to be a missionary there in Japan from South Africa. My mother in 1952 went to Japan as a missionary, single person. There they met, established the work of the Japan Mission in 1957. You know, there was no such thing as short-term missions at that time. They got on a boat. 6 weeks on a boat. They didn't know if they were coming back or not. There they established the work of the Japan Mission for hospital evangelism. There was much TB, and people were sick, and they were in the hospitals evangelizing among the TB patients there. And it was amazing how the Lord raised up entire church communities of people who became better in the TB hospitals, were released, and they were fervent Christians. And even today, we can identify some of these church communities, and they mean a lot to the work of the Japan Mission, too. I just want to share with you, in short, because of time, I know I'll probably just show the video right now about the work of the Japan Mission, just to introduce the work. If you could go ahead and show that might be a good way to start. Thank you. Of the 124 million Japanese, less than half of 1% are Christian. 600,000 claim to be Protestant Christians. 300,000 Christians attend church regularly on Sundays. There is one church for every 16,000 people. 20 cities and 500 towns are without a single church. The 124 million Japanese are the second largest unreached people group in the world. Our calling is to serve the Japanese people however the Lord leads, so that some would come to know the Lord as Savior. The twofold focus of our ministry is to share the gospel with the unsaved and assist the small Bible-believing churches of Japan. Japan Mission does not plant churches. We work interdenominationally. Japan Mission workers work in cooperation with local churches to help evangelize their surrounding areas. Our workers serve in about 20 different locations weekly in the Osaka area, where there's a population of about 23 million people.
Churches in Japan, they're usually understaffed, underfunded, they're small, and they're aging, and it makes the job of a pastor extremely difficult. One of the ways that we come along and we support them is through Bibles and literature. We regularly send Bibles out to individuals throughout Japan and Asia free of charge. We also publish a tract every month. It's called The Fountain of Joy. And in this tract, there's a Japanese testimony. The Japanese are really blessed when they read these stories and about 18,000 copies. They're sent out all over Japan and even to Japanese communities overseas. And this is incredibly powerful because the Japanese local churches where we send these, they actually stamp their local information, their phone number, their website, etc., on the track. So then when they pass it out in their community and someone in their community is blessed, then they know where to go for more. And so this helps connect the local community to that church, not with Japan Mission, but really supports that church reach out to their local community. We also use media to help churches communicate and connect with their local communities. So in Japan, there's a real stigma and like hesitancy to foreign religions. But 90%+ of Japanese people are already on the internet, they're online. And so before going to a new church, they're definitely gonna check you out online. And so one of the ways we support churches is we help them with their websites and their videos to allow the local community to sort of peer into the church. So without going, they can see, like, okay, they're welcome. They don't have to be a Christian to actually go to the church. They're not a cult. And they genuinely care about the community around them. Through media support, we can help the church better connect with their local community. Another way we support churches is through English outreach. We'll send a missionary to a church in Osaka or Kyoto, Nara, Kobe, and we'll start a little English school in that church with the pastor and with the helpers. We say English classes, but really it's community. It's elderly, it's kids, housewives, and businessmen, where they're just coming. Some are coming to increase their English ability. But a lot of them, they're just lonely. They need a place to be. And the church can fill that need. And that's where the Lord sends us missionaries to meet them where they're at. And after each class, there will be a Bible time. And the pastor and the helper will share the word. We'll pray together with them. And the missionary, they'll draw the local community, not to connect them with us or this missionary, but to connect them with the local church. Another way we support churches here in Japan is through short-term missions. And this can be a real help and support when the need in Japan is a real match with the gifting of the team and the group that wants to come. But oftentimes, without true understanding of the need, with so many cultural differences, short-term missions can actually be a burden to a small church hosting and planning and communicating with this team overseas. And that's where Japan Mission steps in. So we can host, we can house them and plan things and communicate with the church and bridge this gap. We have guests coming here every 2 weeks. Someone's here shadowing us, helping us out with the things we're doing, or they're on a vision trip. And so if you feel called, if you're interested in short-term missions, on our website, there's an application form. Check it out. We'll see you here. The second aspect of the work here at Japan Mission is here on site at headquarters. And here we're exploring all kinds of ways to reach out to the local community. And the idea is if something works well here on site, then we can implement it in churches across Japan. So one example of a ministry like this is Kaya Cafe. A missionary here way back, they couldn't speak Japanese, but he had all this love in his heart that he wanted to share with the local Japanese people, but he didn't know how to share it. But he loved coffee. And so he learned how to pour his heart into how to make a cup of coffee, the perfect cup. So he'd go out, he'd buy these select beans, and then he'd hand grind them, and then he did this pour over coffee for the community. And he called it Come As You Are Cafe, Kaya Cafe. And basically, just like we go to God, and he loves us as we are, and he takes us there, accepts us. He said, come to Kaya Cafe as you are, and so that he could share this love that he had in his heart through coffee to these people. And many still gather every week, and so many are blessed. So another on-site ministry is Kaya Kinder. It's a child care program where local moms, they come bring their kids, 2 to 6 years old. We play with them in English, pray before snack. There's outside play, there's English lessons, and there's a Bible story every week. And now there's over 20 families coming and bringing their kids. We accept these families, these kids, just like they are. And we come alongside them and we help these families raise their kids. When kids graduate from the Kaya Kinder, they move on. We have elementary English programs so they can be involved in. But before they leave the Kinder, they bury a letter in a time capsule to their future self. And their parents will write a letter or there'll be pictures in there. And in sixth grade, before they go to junior high, we dig up that time capsule. And then we call all these people together who graduated at that time, and then we pray with them and their families as we send them off into junior high in the next stage of their life. So it's a really powerful ministry, but it's something that can only be done because we're doing it as a team. And there's got to be four teachers working together every week, and it's a lot. So we can't do this outside of headquarters in a church somewhere unless we have a manpower and things like that. But it works really well here on site. Another example of a ministry here on site is Kaya Homestay, where local Japanese people in the community, they'll come and they'll live with a missionary couple from Texas. This missionary couple invites them to live with them in a Christian home so that they can naturally see what does it look like to have this living walk with God. And it shows them a completely different way of life. So you're praying before your meals. You're doing devotions in the morning. If their homestay is scheduled on a Sunday, then they'll go to church with them on a Sunday. So it's just an incredible outreach. So our heart here at Japan Mission is to support Japanese churches and to reach the lost with the gospel in churches throughout Japan or here at headquarters on site. And we're really excited because we know the Lord has more in store and greater things are still coming. And so we really appreciate your prayers and support. And it's your partnership with us that keeps all this going. And so we really appreciate it. Thank you.
You may ask, what can I do for the work of the Japan Mission? I would ask that you pray that the Lord would lead us to the seeking ones among the masses. Pray that our workers would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to take this opportunity to thank those who have been praying and supporting the work of Japan Mission. Many times we face challenges and the Lord does miracles, and we are assured that people are praying. The Lord is blessing the work and lives are being changed. Please be assured that your faithful prayers and support are helping us make a difference in the lives of many. Thank you very much.
I just want to draw your attention to the literature at the back. There's some leaflets. There's a book. Some books are for sale. There's actually a leaflet here of our latest book, and it's actually a free download. Just take this. It's a PDF file, 200 pages or so, about missions in Japan. The book costs money to print. This is basically free for us to upload it to the internet for you to take a leaflet. We'd appreciate it if you'd pray for us. Take some of our literature. We've got the prayer card, all those things there. Thank you very much. I just want to start by sharing a message with you. Pastor Jacob invited me to Honolulu, and at that time I was thinking, well, there are various costs involved and timing and all these issues, and then the Lord, I prayed about it. He said, go. And so I'm here. Praise the Lord. He opened the way. My father was here back in 2013, Neil Verwey. He passed away in 2013. I think me and my wife, we were here in 2016, 2017. That was the last time, 9 years ago when we were with you in this fellowship. It was a long time, and we would have made it shorter, except I think there was a pandemic in between there around 2020, 2021, when we were actually scheduled to come back. The doors were closed, so... But the Lord has worked in various ways to show us a lot during the pandemic. And it was a time for me to stop, pray, reflect on God's word. And as things opened up again, I got busy again. And I took the opportunity to reevaluate my priorities and ask the Lord what He wanted me to be busy about. Sometimes we can get so busy in a schedule, and if we're not careful, we can even exclude God from our routines. We don't regularly pray and commit these things to the Lord. It just becomes a routine. But thank you for being faithful to the task here, and the Lord has helped us there in Japan be faithful to the task. I'd just like to open with a short word of prayer and share a message with you. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share about the work of the Japan Mission. Thank you for raising up friends of the Japan Mission who continue to lift us up in prayer. We are greatly encouraged. I ask that your Holy Spirit would bless this time we have together. Teach us how to share the faith, hope, and love that you've given us with people we come in contact with. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to share with you a message about faith, hope, and love. And my intention is not to exhaust the topic or to speak on every word, because we'd be here, I think, a few weeks or maybe longer, I don't know. But I just want to share a testimony message of how God has impressed upon me how I need to have a lifestyle that really imparts faith, hope, and love to people around me. Since while I'm, can I say, surrounded and walking in the streets of Osaka, I'm surrounded by over 100 million people who, as I look out on the sea of faces, they are lost. Most have not heard the gospel. And God has impressed on me that this lifestyle is very important. In 2023, I had the opportunity to perform a wedding for a wedding party of 13 people. They traveled all the way from central China into Japan. They were like tourists coming through. They wanted, though, a Christian wedding without religious restrictions. We sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I read 1 Corinthians 13. It was a wonderful opportunity to share a message of hope with these Chinese Christians. The Lord used 1 Corinthians 13:13 to speak to my heart. "And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Faith, hope, and love will remain. And in Japanese it says, itsumademo, meaning forever. In the English it doesn't say forever, but the meaning here is these things will remain forever. And they are at the core of our Christian walk with God. Many things will fade, but faith, hope, and love will remain for eternity. The Lord showed me then the necessity to pattern my lifestyle accordingly. I realized that where possible, I needed to make a conscious effort to communicate God's faith and hope and love to the people I came in contact with. And over the next few years, it was around 2020, 2021, as I was still before the Lord, I asked the Lord, "Please teach me how to share this faith, hope, and love with Christians and non-Christians alike." I started by asking God specifically to show me how to share God's love. As I studied love, God impressed on me that this love was a love of action and hard work and not just fuzzy feelings. In John 15:13, it's written, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." God showed me various opportunities to share God's love with others. While walking in the streets of Osaka, I would sometimes pass by a certain area where people were begging, and they seemed hungry, and the Lord reminded me that Jesus had love and compassion for the poor, and I could not just turn a blind eye. Now, as God directs me, when I see a person who seems hungry and begging on the street, I don't give him money. I go to a close Japanese fast food restaurant, and there I buy like a $2 beef bowl for them, and I give it to them, and I feel, okay. And sometimes I'll put a little tract in with a beef bowl and give it to them. So God showed me this is what I need to do to show His love to these people. On my way back from a church in Osaka, I would sometimes pass by a Red Cross blood bank, and God impressed on me that giving blood would be an act of selfless love. And I felt convicted because I actually resisted giving blood because I hated the thought of needles. And it was as though God was asking me, "Are you willing to set aside your selfish feelings to show love to others?" About 1 month later, I stopped in to find out what was involved in giving blood. As I was filling in the form, the nurse noticed my British nationality and asked, "Have you traveled to the UK for longer than 1 week between 1980 and the year 2000? And I told her, "Well, I think I've been there about a month or so on a couple occasions." And then she told me, "Well, in this case, you're ineligible to give blood because they had mad cow disease, and that was prevalent during that time." I was so relieved and glad. Then I felt guilty that I was so glad, and then I had to repent before the Lord who shed his blood for me. God taught me through this that it was not always about the doing, but the willingness. God wants us to have a willing heart. He wants a heart with an attitude that says, "Lord, I am willing to do anything you ask so that you may be glorified." Shortly after this, the Lord led me to pray a new prayer. "Please use me this day to enable someone to have a special encounter with you." I found that God invariably answered this prayer in so many ways. On the first day, I was able to share Christ with someone through an act of love and kindness that I met on the street. On the second day, a fellow missionary shared with me that his daughter had cancer, and I took the time to write a long email to encourage him with some scriptures, and later he emailed me and told me how blessed and encouraged he was. On the third day, the Lord led me and Sue to a Filipino lady's house who was giving her furniture away for free, and we found out that she was a Christian. She was relatively, can I say, anxious or distraught because she was alone, had no car, needed to move her furniture out of her apartment the next day. She was moving to Okinawa to get married. Out of love and concern, we took more things than we needed to help her out. At the end, while Sue and I prayed with her, she embraced us and said, "Thank you, God, for sending them, your servants, to help me." So God just helped us be there as an encouragement to her. And little did we know that when we saw this little ad that we responded to. I would encourage you to go home and pray this prayer. "Please use me this day to enable someone to have a special encounter with you." And you'd be surprised at the opportunities God brings across your path to share his love with others. One day, I was driving out of the entrance of the Japan Mission, and I saw an elderly gentleman who had run his truck up on the curb and was stuck. I put my mask on since it was 2021, and it was during the pandemic to help him. I didn't want him to think, "Okay, this crazy foreigner is approaching me. He's going to give me a disease or something." People were a little bit skeptical at that time of people approaching each other. And I helped him tow his vehicle off the curb, and his name was Mr. Fuji. He was so friendly. He told me he was moving into the apartment across the road, and I offered him a parking spot in the Japan Mission parking lot there across the road from him. Over time, we became good friends, and he would periodically thank me for that day when he was moving, and I helped him with his little truck. And 3 years later, in 2024, Japan Mission was in search for housing for new missionaries who had arrived from the USA. I told Mr. Fuji of our need for housing, and he said, "You know, I'm actually in the process of trying to find a buyer for my apartment, and I'm moving out." He said, "I'd be thrilled to sell it to you." And he said, "I'll sell it to you for the same price I paid for it." And he said, "I trust you, so we don't even need a realtor. So that'll save me and you commission and taxes." And in the beginning, that was actually the beginning of many meetings we had at the Japan Mission as we entered into this transaction with Mr. Fuji. And now that apartment is being used for the Lord. And each time we had the opportunity, we witnessed and prayed with him. And God taught me that a simple act of love, of kindness, of helping him with his truck could lead to unexpected outcomes. So it's amazing how the Lord, all things work together for good as you serve others. In 1 Corinthians 13, it is written, "And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." In the beginning of 2024, I asked God to teach me how to share God's hope with people. I think some of you may have heard this illustration about the lady who requested when she was laid to rest that she would be laid to rest with her arms folded, with the Bible in one hand and a dessert spoon in the other. And she said, you know, people asked why a dessert spoon, and she'd say, well, because when you see a dessert spoon on the table, you know the best is yet to come. And this lady's had hope in the life to come with Jesus. And as Christians, we're called to communicate this message of hope. And you may ask, how can we communicate this a message of hope? I'd like to give you six practical ways. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Living a life that exemplifies these things gives people around us hope. A smile, a good attitude gives people hope. A smile communicates love and acceptance. That gives people hope. Keeping your word gives people hope. This is often true with children. Some kids are surrounded by adults who are, say, relatively, can I say, frivolous things and disappoint and don't always keep their word. The opposite of disappointment is hope. Peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit and gives hope. Peace communicates love and acceptance and gives hope. When a child spills milk by accident, we can squash his spirit or encourage him. When we reassure them of their love, it gives hope. Communicating how precious people are in God's sight gives hope. In our Bible times with kids, we communicate this truth. Many feel worthless and insignificant, and some adults feel this way too. We can impart hope by telling people that they are precious in God's sight. Inspiring people to forgive and love others gives hope, as opposed to hate, gossip, slander. We at Japan Mission are called to impart hope. In Japan, Christmas is a special time of year when people are more open to the gospel. It is a time when we share the message of hope that we have in Jesus. Japan Mission workers are involved in over 100 Christmas parties and events during this season. In John 4:10, it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first, and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Because of Jesus, we no longer live with a curse of sin. Because of Jesus, we are reconciled with God and have eternal life. Because of Jesus, we no longer worry, but have peace. Because of Jesus, we have hope, even when we face death. Jesus is the one who gives us hope. Amen. Japan is full of the elderly, and we try to give the elderly hope in Japan by doing various things. 40% of Japan is about 60 years and older. 30% are 65 and older. Gives you an idea of what an aging population they are. And many are facing death without Jesus, without salvation, without the knowledge of where they will be in eternity. And Japan Mission is surrounded by four big retirement homes within walking distance. During Respect for the Aged Day, Christmas, and other times, we visit the elderly there, and we encourage them by giving them flowers, singing songs, sharing messages of God's hope with them. So that's another way in which Japan Mission ministers to the communities around us and also to the elderly. In Japan is a country of many earthquakes, natural disasters. Japan Mission has had numerous opportunities to give hope by helping those experiencing such disasters. Each month, I think it was mentioned in the video, we print a new tract containing a testimony of salvation. These testimonies give hope to those who read the tracts. Japan Mission also makes videos for churches to introduce their community ministries to their local communities. This gives hope to the churches and also to those who see the videos. As a result, some have started to attend church and made decisions. Japan Mission uses English evangelism to reach communities for Christ. Japan Mission partners with about 20 different local churches and send our missionaries out to teach Bible and English there in an Osaka area where the population is about 23 million people. The English evangelism program allows local churches to reach out to non-Christians in their communities. Many students who are lonely and have problems find hope through these programs. Each class ends with a Bible time, which communicates the message of hope that we have in Jesus. People find hope by participating in our cafe and our homestay ministries. People of all ages come to experience Christian living and hospitality while being immersed in a different culture where many converse in English, and pray that God would help Japan Mission reach many with a message of hope in Japan. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it is written, "And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love." In the beginning of 2025, I asked God to teach me about faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Faith is essential. We've been saved by faith. What is faith? In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." One example I often share with children is like turning the light switch on is an act of faith in the spiritual in the physical world. We cannot actually see electricity, but we can be assured of it, and so it is with a spiritual world. Faith gets stronger and deeper as we practice it, like a light switch. The first time you turn it on, you wonder if it's going to work or if that light switch works with that light. The 20th time, we're very assured it's going to work. At first, our faith is small, so we pray for small things. We often encourage kids to take baby steps, like praying for that God would give them good friends or do good on a test or have good health. And praying with them sometimes when they lose something, and if they find it, they're so surprised that God answered prayer. Answered prayer can awaken faith. Answered prayer can deepen faith. My wife, Sue, often teaches English to young kids and shares a Bible time. And at the end of her Bible time, she asks the kids, "What do you want prayer for?" And one child, Keiichiro, 10-year-old, piped up and he said he wants to become Godzilla and take everybody's money. And my wife said, "No, that's a selfish prayer. And we know that's not God's will." And we need to pray according to God's will. So some of the kids just need direction, correction. And he sheepishly agreed. After Sue shared Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious for anything," her student Ayame piped up and said, "Oh, please pray. I feel anxious about my schoolwork and my family." And she prayed with her. Jotaro, 10 years old, came to kids club from when he was 4 years old. He's used to the routine. He loves to share about what he wants prayer for. And one time he said, "Tomorrow is my mother's birthday and we have a baseball game. Please pray I would hit a home run and would be able to give this ball to my mother." Wow, what a prayer. So I think my wife did pray the prayer, yes. And the next day the Lord answered that prayer. And I believe the Holy Spirit used this experience in Jotaro's life to awaken his faith. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit plays a vital role in this process. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "A person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness." We may think we have a good idea, and as good stewards, we act upon it, like asking children what they want prayer for. But it's the Holy Spirit that actually brings about this work. It's not because of our clever words. In John 16:13, it says, "The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth." The Lord recently used some unexpected ways to teach me about faith. During May 2025, about 9 months ago, a friend of mine that I'd known from 16 years old visited me, 80-year-old Shinji. And his wife came because they wanted a homestay for their niece and nephew. And we gave them a grand tour up the stairs and down the stairs, and Shinji seemed healthy. And in June, Shinji suddenly was diagnosed with late-stage brain cancer. And they said he only had about 6 months to live, and that was about 8 months ago. And then he started to struggle to walk. And we started to visit them more regularly. My wife, Sue, would go shopping with his wife. They were good friends. While I stayed with Shinji at their house, and I prayed and shared the Bible verses with him. We talked about his belief in God and the afterlife, and God gave me wonderful opportunities to share faith with Shinji. Shinji told me, as a child, my mother would send me to Sunday school, and she would not give me my weekly allowance until she heard that I attended Sunday school. His mother was a Christian and faithfully prayed for him over the years. As an adult, Shinji never attended church regularly. He spent most of his life building his company and was a workaholic. When Shinji learned he had cancer, his priorities changed. The seeds that his mother had sown in his heart so many years ago started to come to fruition. I could see that the light went on in his mind, and the Lord had changed his heart. It was so good to hear Shinji say, "No matter what happens, now I don't worry, because I know Jesus is with me." Praise the Lord. During this time, God gave Shinji an urgent desire to hold a farewell party for his friends, mostly all non-Christians. After a lot of planning, we arranged to hold this party July 13th, 2025, about 6 months, 7 months ago, 8 months ago. Shinji wanted his unsaved friends to know that he was a Christian. All the plans were made, 60 invitations were sent out, the food was ordered, and the day before, on July 12th, Shinji developed high blood pressure, felt dizzy, couldn't walk anymore. We called an ambulance, rushed him to the hospital, thinking maybe he was going to have a stroke. We weren't sure. And the farewell party was scheduled for the next day. As we prayed, we were left wondering if we were going to have to call 60 people and cancel the party. And the doctor gave Shinji a clean bill of health after he gave him some, medication for his blood pressure. And so then he released him back that evening. And that was a real answer to our prayers. The next day, July 13th, Shinji felt better. Sue picked up Shinji and his wife we also drove them down to Osaka near his company, where we held a farewell party there in a large lobby there. And 60 of his friends showed up, and they were all non-Christians that showed up. And we sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," "Amazing Grace." I shared a message of hope that we have in Jesus and the life to come in a city of streets of gold and gates of pearl. It was the first time most of his friends had heard the gospel. A few days later, Shinji was hospitalized for the long term to receive radiation treatments. We visited him regularly in hospital. Each time I printed a Bible verse to share with him and prayed with him. On October 2025, just a few months ago, I shared John 14:27 with him. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And as I read these verses, they were both moved to tears. Shinji said, "Thank you. This verse is for me. I'm going to keep this next to my pillow." Shinji's wife tearfully shared, "Thank you. There is a God. This is the Bible verse we needed." Shinji has been having terrible dreams, she explained, and trouble differentiating between dreams and reality. She shared how Shinji on an occasion woke up and did not recognize her. And on another occasion, he dreamed that he had made a bomb and it was about to explode. And he woke up saying they needed to evacuate. There was quite a number of problems that they had. We became keenly aware that as the cancer progressed, the battle for his mind was very real. And we prayed God would help him take every thought captive and surround him with his peace. After a while, his wife called me at home saying, "He's distressed. Please pray with him." I prayed with him over the phone. Then I sent him a link to "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" in Japanese. I sent that to his wife, and he listened to this while he was dropping off to sleep. Later, I sent another link to "Amazing Grace" in Japanese. The Holy Spirit used these songs to speak to Shinji's heart. So in this way, God taught me how we can use YouTube links to encourage others in their faith. Shinji has since received radiation treatments and been bedridden. Since November, he's basically been mostly asleep all the time and not been eating. He's been receiving nutrition, IV drips. In mid-December, God sent Franz, a special servant of the Lord from South Africa to Japan, to encourage us and give us hope with Shinji. Franz is the father of Lindy, who's one of the missionaries of Japan Mission. Franz and his wife traveled to Japan to visit their daughter during their Christmas holidays.
France is a supporter of Japan Mission and a well-known orthopedic doctor with an established practice in South Africa, and the Lord gave France the gift of healing. As he would treat his patients, he would ask the Lord to show him who he should pray for. Often the Lord would lead him to pray for healing for a patient, and this is how faith, hope, and love was evident in France's life. If God brings a sick person across France's path, he would first fast for 3 days, then he would meet with them, pray with them, anoint them with oil, and in this way, a number of people were miraculously healed. In James 5:14, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." On December 31st, 2025, the Lord led France and I to go pray for Shinji and anoint him with oil. After France prayed, Shinji began to stir and became more responsive. We prayed, "Lord, we ask that the power of God would be made evident through Shinji so that his family would come to know Christ." All unsaved, and so we prayed that the Lord would help them come to know Christ. After France prayed, Shinji's wife tearfully thanked him. She told him, "God has sent you to give hope to our family. Thank you very much." He was so appreciative. On January 1st, 2026, Shinji's family gathered around his hospital bed on New Year's Day. They could visibly see the difference in his responsiveness. He opened his eyes, nodded, moved his hands. He even had a bowel movement after 6 weeks. He hadn't eaten anything. France returned to South Africa January 4th while assuring us of his prayers for Shinji and his family. During my recent visit with Shinji in February, just a couple weeks ago, the pink color was returning to his cheeks. He opened his eyes. His eyes would follow us as we prayed with him, sang songs to him, read Bible verses to him. He squeezed my hand when I would hold his hand. So, and I selfishly prayed before, "Lord, heal Shinji now or take him very soon," because I didn't want to see him in that situation. But God showed me that he had a purpose for Shinji being the way he was in that bedridden situation. God gave us many opportunities to share faith and witness to Shinji's family. And his family is now starting to seek God like never before. We were encouraged to learn that they were starting to read the Bibles that we had given them, and they're actually praying to God. Our prayers for Shinji was a big source of hope for Shinji's family and help quicken their faith in God. In conclusion, I repeat, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love are very interrelated. All three are essential for a successful Christian life. In faith, we proclaim the message of hope that we have in the gospel. In faith, we express love by doing good deeds with a hope that God would be glorified. Yes, we're called to share faith through our good deeds so that God would be glorified. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." May God help us to incorporate faith, hope, and love into our lives in such a way that God can use us to bring glory to his name and further his kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, give us the courage to let our light shine before others so that you would be glorified through our lives. Help us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be good stewards of every opportunity to share the faith, hope, and love that you have given us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon us all. Amen. And in Japanese, Chichi to koto seirei naru kami ga minasama o shukufuku shi, mamori, michibite kudasaimasu yoni. Amen.
So this morning we're concluding our 4 weeks of hearing from the hearts of missionaries, introducing them all. Can anybody remember who the first missionary was that spoke? First Sunday of February? I'm not going to listen to you. Okay, Stacy, what did you say? Oscar? So, okay, Oscar Brooks. Who was number two? Pastor Chris Nair from Pakistan. Who was number three? Chi Alpha last week. Kelsey, and she brought a young lady. Anybody remember? Look at she's going. Raina, who gave her testimony. And that was powerful. And this morning, we have Brother David and his wife Sue. I want to speak a few minutes about their ministry. He's going to be out there in the back, in the foyer, in a few minutes. He's got a number of books. Some are historical. One that really is touching is his new book that he's got out there that he'll give you an opportunity if you'd like to draw it down by free off the internet. You can do that. But he's actually selling those books. They're $100 each, and I told him we'd probably sell about 200 of them back there, but no, very inexpensive publications. But there's a couple of things. First of all, the long history in Japan. If you pay attention to what's going on in the world, he made reference to the aging of Japan. And you would understand that this has been going on for quite a while now. Aging is normal for everybody. And it used to be normal for young couples to have children. That's declining around the Western world. So families are having fewer and fewer children. And some of the statistics that I've read is young people aren't really interested in getting married as a general population. And children are virtually in absolute decline. So we see there's socioeconomic implications of that. But the aging of the country, one of the major implications is that there's fewer and fewer people working to pay for the aging population. So Japan, China, most of the Asian countries, America, Korea's in the same boat, where affluence or incomes and economies, young people want to have a good time more than they want to raise children and have an impact on the future. It's a tremendous, tremendous problem confronting the Western world today. Now, spiritually, that puts you in the place of knowing what's taking its place. As our Western population declines, Eastern religions, no, Western, Middle Eastern, Muslims have on the average 7.8 children per family. And as they migrate into countries, they gradually turn the culture into an Islamic one. That's the battle that's being fought spiritually today. Now, we watch what David and Sue are confronting in Japan. They are ministering to churches. They're assisting churches in reaching the Japanese. And if you've been in Hawaii for a while, you know reaching Japanese is very difficult. It's more difficult in Japan with the cultural differences and what's going on with young people. But they have a brochure that explains their ministry that I want to commend to you for a matter of prayer. It's a phenomenal, well done brochure. Did you design this, David? Your team put it together? The way it explains your ministry as a fold-out is just so clear on where people can serve and what it is that you're actually doing most of the time. It folds out into a picture like this that defines all the different ways that they're serving in country. It might be a model for every church, I would think, to be able to explain what we do and how we do it. But please pick up one of these as you're looking at his books and recognize that God's been working in Japan for a long time. Long time. Hasn't had too much success, but I believe that there's still hope for Japan. There has to be hope for Japan. His word would declare to us that he's not coming back until everybody's had a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we hold to that. How it's going to happen, I don't know. I can't even forecast that. But we continue to serve, as you do, brother, you and Sue. And we wish God bless you in so many different ways. Let's all rise, shall we? I have one more thing I want to mention. Darren, come forward, please, Darren. We're going to close with this. So I just draw your attention to how we continue to support missionaries is by your pledge. Thank you, Darren. I handed these out. I had these handed out last week. If you weren't able to take one of these, we want you to do this. This is a pledge between you and the Lord. It's not something I'm going to check up on. No, it's a perforated little card where you can make a commitment to pray and to give. It says, as God enables me. That's how it starts. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we really believe if your heart is to support missions, God will put a number on your mind that you can commit to give. And I've had children give $5 a month kind of deal just to know that they're participating. So let me encourage you. You consider making a pledge, tearing this off, and taking the pledge piece home with you that you would be able to give monthly. This is very effective for us in knowing budgetarily what we're looking at as far as our giving. God has blessed us. We continue to give today what we started years ago. We give more than we did years ago. So God is continuing to bless us as far as finances go. But it's important for you to know that you're supporting missions too. And this is just one way to do it directly. Another way, as Pastor Darren would say, what's one way you can give? What's another way you can support missions?
No.
Did he say go? We have short-term missions coming up this month, and Pastor Jacob has designed these missions trips as vision trips. It's for you to go and see what's going on out there, experience some of the culture, and get an awareness of what's happening and how God might possibly use you. And what happens when you give and you go? What was your favorite term? You truly believe it.
You glow.
You glow, yeah. You give, you go, and then you glow. Or is you glow first and then you give? I can't remember which one it is. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for your grace, your mercy, your love for us. We thank you for the word that our brother brought and how faith, hope, and love can be experienced, how we can put it into practice. Lord, we pray a blessing over their ministry. We thank Pastor Jacob for his planning processes to bring these wonderful people to us. But Lord, we pray that our hearts are in line with yours, that we would be in support of missions worldwide. We always pray for missionaries to change the hearts, be used in the changing of hearts of people everywhere that they live. Lord, everywhere there's a missionary that would go. We pray a blessing over Sharon. Lord, as she goes to Mexico City, let her be fruitful. Lord, let her hands multiply the blessings of your love in her for those around her. Take us now from this place, Lord. Bring us back again at the appointed time. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Go in peace.